The following talk was recorded at Libra Planet 2023, Charting the Course, an annual conference on current issues in ethics, social justice, and technology from the Free Software Foundation. Libra Planet is a live conference, and speakers often use slides and other visual tools to assist their presentation. You can see the videos of these talks at media.libraplanet.org or on the FSF PeerTube channel. Libra Planet speakers do not represent the mission of the Free Software Foundation. We host speakers talking about their uses of free software in different kinds of political and commercial work. The FSF supports their freedom, but does not take a position on any political issues other than those necessary to uphold the principles of free software. Like all the FSF's work on behalf of the freedom of all computer users, Libra Planet is made possible by thousands of individuals. To keep our work going, please consider becoming an associate member via my.fsf.org/join. or by making a donation at my.fsf.org/donate. You can stay informed by subscribing to our newsletter, The Free Software Supporter, at fsf.org/fss. For more information on Libra Planet, please visit libraplanet.org/conference.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Libra Planet, Neptune Room, where we're going to be hearing about cataloging challenging museum library items with Silvio Tommaso D'Onofrio. Did I say that correctly?
Yes.
Good. My name's Jim, and while you're listening, please queue up questions. There'll be a 15-minute question at the end, and those of you online, you can submit your questions in the IRC. So go to the IRC Neptune Room channel, and I'll be scanning the IRC for questions during the talk, and then mixing them in at the end. So with that, Silvio, please go ahead.
Thank you, Jim. Hello, everyone. It's a great pleasure to me, this opportunity, this wonderful opportunity to be here with you, the excellent team of Software Foundation, brilliant people who helped a lot to be here today. Thank you all. It's a huge privilege. And I must say, my presentation is a little bit different from the others I have seen. I think less technical, but at least at some point also intriguing or intriguing. I don't know. I'm sorry. My English is a bit small, but I would like to make my presentation interesting for you to think about new possibilities using free software. It's a case study, but it's already functional. It's wonderful. To resume, it's a very pleasure. It's a nice, wonderful pleasure to be here today with you, trying to discuss some ideas. I think my big objective here today is to raise some ideas, some new ideas about our life, our possibilities with free software also. As you may see, my English is not so good, and I'm not all that confident using my English in a live event like this, so I will have to read a little text I prepared here, and I hope this can be so boring for you, okay? My presentation is Cataloging Challenging Museums, Libraries, Items. We are seeking dialogue for the expansion of horizons. And this communication then will present a case study, a work in progress, but already fully functional and in a free system. Yes, you can run it for free, any purpose. You can use it to study how it works and change it as you wish. You can redistribute copies, help others, and you can also distribute copies of modified versions of it. It is free. Let us spread the word. Free. Nah. In a traditional library, books have value by themselves. Whether new, used, acquired, donated, works, whether they have stamps or other particularities, this information is not disregarded. But for a regular reader who goes to the library to look for a work, however, this data may not be of great importance. After all it searches, its search is independent of any characteristics present in a specific copy of the book. If the reader in question seeks something unique, a mark of reading, a handwritten dedication, a marginalia, you know, that text some readers put at the side of the page in books, traditional pressed books, people put insert annotations there with a pencil we call it marginalia from margins. If the reader in question seeks something unique, a mark of reading, a handwritten dedication, a marginalia, an ex libris, a mark of ownership. Possibly this reader also visits museum libraries or libraries located in museums. After all, in these institutions, the likelihood of finding unique specimens is greater. In museum libraries or in the sessions of rare works of traditional libraries with copies whose symbolic value supersedes the regular value of the copy. If a book has a manuscript dedication, of course, this book is a unique exemplar. It's different from all the other copies of the same book that possibly exists. To catalog this particularities, we created a system called Mesicon. Working in expansion, Mesicon seeks to assist in the record of hybrid items, such as having written dedication, for example, or items with diffuse or multiple definitions boundaries, representing a challenge for institutions because they own the potential to elucidate intersubjective intricacies by revealing relationships that individuals establish with their time. In items like this, how does some institution catalog such an exemplar? Many questions can be asked, including because the museum library commonly keeps handwritten items, not just books. So allowing the record of information regarding copies of books and or manuscripts, Mesicon assists in organizing and controlling information, perpetuating it, centralizing, and at the same time promoting their diffusion as the aid in the location of a book that presents handwritten dedication, for example. Mesicon emerged within the scope of an academic study or academic activities, but of my own as a member of two research groups, the Center for Brazilian Epistolography Studies at Instituto of Brazilian Studies, University of São Paulo, and also Regional Multidisciplinary Studies, of which I am one of the founders. As research activities around the history of culture and ideas the history of books and the press, the genesis of creation, not only written, but also literary, poetic works, not only books, but also handwritten documentation, also handwritten documents, are used as a documentary source. I mean, handwritten documents are help to explain how a book was published. Here is the issue. Here the issue is initially complicated because everything can be handwritten today, even a digital text, but this is not my focus here. Letters, manuscript, correspondence, be it handwritten or not, I mean made by hand, and not only that, would commonly be something that would commonly be done. For example, a Christmas card, a diary, and now things get complicated. Marginalia contained in books are also considered manuscripts, as well as those so commonly used in past, but still common today, handwritten dedication on books, of course, are manuscripts also. See that everything I have been describing so far as a manuscript, when you try to trace the genealogy of a work, for example, investigating the reasons, the motives that led a writer to write and publish a certain book, in all these manuscripts can be indications, clues that illuminate the path taken by the work before its publication, so to speak. They help in understanding both the work itself and the work within the author's intellectual and personal trajectory. They can unravel paths and dialogues with other authors and works that are not so simply to be detected by simply reading the book itself. Finally, among so many other reasons, and this is already widely known, understanding the author, his time, space, and helps in understanding his work and vice versa, because by better understanding the work, the book, one can better perceive who is or was his author. After all, there are studies and scholars interested not only in works, books, but also in people, in biographies. Okay, well understood. This slide is showing you, because we are planning to have to cover periodicals and I mean new sorts of manuscripts in the future in the scope of Mesicom. But well understood in terms of justification for our project, let's now deal with the motivation. It so happens that when we look for a book with a handwritten dedication, either because we actually know of its existence or because we believe that it may exist even without being sure of it, and we try to locate the copy, we are faced with a myriad of difficulties. Let's talk in practical terms. Although simplifying and generalizing just to illustrate, starting with the basics. I know that a library or museum holds a writer collection. I will not use a real name because I will create some discontent in libraries or museum or authors. Let's use the name John. The name John. Let's imagine there was a writer named John. If I go to the museum or library where John's collection is located and ask to see his handwritten correspondence, for example, the administrative person responsible for the public service area will probably consult a computerized terminal to locate the document in their collection and then bring it back or a copy of it for my reference. Okay. But if what I'm looking for is a book with a handwritten dedication, first, is what I'm looking for a book or a book or a manuscript? Is a book with a handwritten dedication? This is a book or a manuscript? Good question. Technically, this object is also a book, but also a manuscript, as it contains manuscripts normally made by hand. How does the library or museum treat such objects? Where do you pack it? In the area of books, the traditional library, or in the area of manuscripts? Two. Where is this specimen located in the museum library? In the circulating area, with free access, but if this dedication is for someone very famous or important, or if this dedication contains information of interest to someone, the copy runs the risk of remaining in the circulation area, as someone may take it without returning it for whatever reason, or it may become unusable, tear off the page, for example, with the dedication. You see in this slide, we search for first edition, exclusive editions, manuscripts, correspondence. I'm using the programming language, logical operators here. You detected this. First edition plus exclusive editions plus manuscript. And then where do you find, do you search for it? In library and or museum? And or museum library, or a library inside a museum, and or our archive, where does it the institution put this specimen, this hybrid and defying volume? Yeah, you see the motivations there. This is one point. The second point is, does this copy of this book also have a dedication printed in offset? I mean, it was printed together with the contents of the book? If yes or no, if I don't have access to the copy or photos, if I am at a distance, for example, consulting online for my research, for example, can I find out the content of these dedications, their transcript maybe, and other particularities? For example, was it written in pencil or ink? What color is the writings? Do you have a date, signature, location, spelled, ex-libris again? Are there tears, stamps, post office marks, watermarks on the page? If I can get a transcript of the dedication, do I find out if the name of another person or work was written in the writings in the dedication or in the manuscript annotations? You see, there are an infinity of variables that could be contained and therefore likely to be solved in a survey like this. And everything that was raised can be of great use and needed for the researcher attentive to the details. Third challenge, when it comes to packing, maintaining, making available to the public, an hybrid object like the one we have been talking about. The book that contains dedications or writings on the margins of the pages. There are people who create as if these annotations, these writings on the margins, there are people who create it as if it were a parallel narrative in the books they are reading, making notes, comments, notes that can be useful in studies of peoples and more books. And all this myriad of details has not been contemplated in the archiving, observation, and memory systems that we have consulted recent years, not to mention more than a decade. The descriptive possibilities of registering items such as books and manuscripts continue to be a very defined item, a theme, or maybe I could say this is yet to be invented in terms of description for institutions. Well, technically speaking, don't tell anyone. It's a regular lamp system, the classical regular. I should say we should call applauses for the ones who work on lamp systems: Linux, Apache, MySQL, PHP. Not so complicated. Every ISP can provide this for you. Internet solution provider. This is very far known and easy to configure, to set up. Not one special requisition, nothing. The own good old LAMP system. With some details, everything here is free. It's free software: Let's Encrypt, GIMP, FileZilla, HTML, JavaScript. Everything is free. Everything as Mezicon here is free. That's good. This is we have to advocate every day, because people are losing their liberty, maybe sometimes even by option. But we have to change this to a philosophy of free, of liberty. The more, the better. Mezicon, it was just a brief introduction or presentation. You saw that I did not talk about technical issues, because everybody there know more technically than me here about my system. But you can find system in GitHub. Please send your comments, your critics. We have plenty of to-dos yet to be done in the code. I know the question, the issue with IDEON is yet to be improved also. I know everything. Well, I think for a while it's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you. I'm listening to you. Thank you. Have luck. Jim? Thank you.
Thank you. I trust you could hear that applause. Any questions? Yeah? I'm sort of curious about some of the background, like how it was that you decided to. I assume that this is mostly your work, or do you have multiple people working on it? And how did this get initiated? Who had the idea to build some software to handle this particular problem?
Nice. Is it Jim?
Yes, this is Jim, the monitor.
Jim, nice question. And you open the possibility for me to try to talk a little bit about something I didn't speak. Yes, this I worked with programming languages many years ago, and then I migrated to this area of history and social history and history of literature, history of the press, history of the books, and this is a particular demand. Arising for my demands, personally my demands, because there are many questions around this. It's difficult to find these exemplars, for example, about correspondence, manuscript correspondence, or books with manuscript dedication. It's very hard to find this. Because it's very hard today to document this. When an institution receives, for example, the archive of a writer, you have many books there, and correspondence, photos, etc. The process of incorporation of this archive and the descriptions fields, there are not too many, and for many reasons. Reasons that go to the human work. After all, if the worker there has a big form, I mean, in the computer, he got a book with manuscript dedication, and he has to catalog to insert this in the system of the library, of the museum. If he has a form with 50 fields, 100 fields, and only two obligatory required fields, he will only fill that two required fields. The other enter blanks, enter with blank. And then if this book he's putting there, is inserting the system, has an important dedication, for example, or important manuscript annotations in the margins of the book, this information, this manuscript area, this manuscript part of the book, will be lost in time in the shelves of the library, in the shelves of the books. And that's our intention. And this is a real scenario, a real situation we face it many times. You sit to a library or a museum to find an exemplar, a book, you don't know what have inside this book. Then you open up the first page or the second page, then it was a dedication. And many times, this is the important part. These brief annotations, these brief dedications, points to information that you didn't know before, or clears a new scenario for your research or your study. This is because my system arose. Yes, I have a team of friends, or researchers. But this is a common need for us to know where the books with dedication are, to know where they are, to know where is written in the dedication or in the manuscripts. I will not tell about correspondence or manuscript letters, because then the quantity of information there can be much more and much more relevant or revealing. Jim, I'm sorry. I'm going stuck in my small English ability here. I'm sorry, but I think you have the a small picture of the problem. The question, yes, it's Mesicon arose by a personal or a particular need for us, from our stuff, from me and my group and my colleagues, and the system try to face it. Thank you.
Okay. Well, we have another question here from the audience.
Hello, this is Bob. It was an interesting talk, and I apologize, I missed a little bit of that, if you covered it. You're talking about all the different types of media, like you might open up the book and find something. But just as interesting is the history of the item of the book or whatever it is, the provenance of it. Have you considered that, how is that handled as well, the provenance of every item?
Origin, source.
I have a little interruption. You can repeat the middle of your consideration. I'm sorry.
He was asking about is there a place in the system to record things like the use the word provenance. That's like who bought it or who had it, where it came from, the object. You know, what was the object's origin, or if there's any story about how it came to be where it is.
Yeah. Thank you. Now I understand. I understood. Yes, these particularities, these very small details, you in the eyes of the common reader, the regular reader, wants to have the book, to get the book and read the novel, the poems, just it. But as an object, the book can contain many signals there, like from its origin, where it came from, how it came from, how it came to there, when, by whom. There is a history. When a book came to a library, or especially in a rare works area of a library, for example, when a book or a correspondence come to this place, he has a whole history behind him. And if we don't document this, this history is lost. I think about this this origin, this is already I have seen this already being implemented when you find when you search for rare materials in museums or libraries. Usually you have an origin, or at least a date or a name for the responsible person. But there are also the question with this piece of information, manuscript information, in books especially, the very important thing I think is sometimes in a book, unexpectedly, in a book, in some dedication or in some annotation, some note the reader have maybe been done there, you have some time, the whole explanation for the conception of another work, for example, in a commentary. As I say, let's see an example. I write a book and I give a copy of it for a friend of mine, and I put a dedication there, for example. Oh, my book is not good as yours or as my friend's books, but it was with all my heart to you. You see, in this brief dedication, very, very regular, you have the indication of a comparing indication. He was dialoguing with another opera work, for example, another book or another author, and then you can begin to build to many connections about how this author, how me, for example, who gave this dedication, how I consider my book, in face, in front of a book, for example, or another author. You see, you can weave relations. The researcher can 10 years this, right? Before.
I mean,
then my software, you have many fields to include all of these details. It has dedication. It has stamp marks. Transcript this. Transcript that. you have and all the books have the option to be marked also as a manuscript, and then you have descriptions forms for both of the sides, for the manuscript side, and also this manuscript annotation notes that a book can have normally has a temporal component also there, because the reader can make an annotation today, tomorrow, or 10 years later, he make another note, And this book then passed to another person that he proper made his own annotation. And then this book goes to the institution that seals a stamp there or stick a stamp there or tears the page by an accident. And all these marks for the researcher, it was very important. Everything is important.
Yes. We have another question.
Oh, thank you.
Can you hear me okay? Hello, my name is Savvy, and I just had a quick question. It's not necessarily quite as serious as some of the other questions you might have been asked before, but, you know, here it is. I was wondering, in your research, what is your favorite artifact or piece of history that you've had the pleasure to archive or be near?
Wow, very difficult question. My God, I have seen many. It's difficult because I'm specialized. I came from the literature area, letters. Then I got my master's in Brazilian studies. Then I got my PhD in social history. But my focus was always in the micro environment. I was not preoccupied with big authors or great names or the consecrated authors or big. No, I'm preoccupied with simple persons, simple writers, simple works, intellectual works. The narratives of the simple people. This is interests me much more than the big figures. Always, it was always since my my younghood, my youth. And me to have a picture from the author I studied some years ago, a picture that has 40 years or six or 70 years. Or made a little note from the author with his spouse. This is each of them, each and everyone has a special value, a special concept, and each of them is able to open a small space in your heart, and you can surely. The precious thing I have, or they're interesting things you have in your third. I think it's the unexpected things. Then you, for example, this something happens yet. I go to an archive, for example, studying some author or a special archive or a collection special made for this or that author. Some theme, and then when I open a book, paging, browsing, and then I find a note there. For example, this is very precious, a manuscript note, guardada. How can I say guardada? Deixada, left there by whatever reason. And then you find a note there, or a picture there, a photo, or a correspondence, a letter, and no one knows the existence of this object. This is very, very precious. For me, I like old paper, besides technology, and liberty, free. Thank you, free community.
Silvio, we have a question on the chat. Where can someone find more information, and if they would like to get involved in the project and maybe contribute, is there a place on the web that you could tell them to go?
Yeah. Aha. You see this, huh? GitHub. Are you seeing my slide?
Yeah, we can see it.
Yes, this is the point. You have my email there. We can chat. You can improve. I would like to see my system to be used, to be improved, to be cut, edited. Let's go. Let's make use it of it.
Great, thanks. No more questions here in the room, and what's that? Yeah, I think we have 5 more minutes, but we don't have to go to the, we don't have more. So thank you very much, Silvio.
Thank you. I apologize. I didn't want to run the risk of presenting my work online. It's working in stats.com/mesicon. You will see now it's working. But I didn't have the ambition to make a live presentation because this can make it risky. Thank you all. Good luck to all.
You're welcome. Thank you.